Morning once again and welcome. Morning. Hope we all had a good week. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us and continue on with the truth that we had looked at last week and expound on it a little bit more. And like I said last week, it's a truth that all of us have heard in the past many times, but I believe that there are so many truths from the Word of God that are so powerful, and unless you really focus on them, think on them, ponder them, meditate on them, they lose something. And the more you meditate and ponder a truth from God's Word, the more the Holy Spirit begins to expound on that truth in your heart, and that truth becomes truth to you. It becomes very, very real. And so one of the truths that we want to look at and that we have been looking at, which I believe is just so important for all of us to understand this truth, in order to live on the earth in the abundance of life that Jesus died to give us. Amen? You know, as the Lord expands and shows you the significance of what I want to share here this morning in understanding this truth, it will change your life. It will change the way you think, and it will change your life. Because how many of us know that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is? Change begins where? In the mind. You will never change unless you change your mind. And that's what the word repent means. To have a change of mind or a change of heart. And when Jesus came to the earth and he said repent, he was not saying stop doing what you're doing. What he was saying was change your mind about what you believe and you will live right. Change your mind. So change always begins in the mind, Emily. Always. And that's why it is so important or imperative that we continually renew our minds, because change begins in the mind. Your mind is controlling your life. I'm going to say that again. Your mind is in control of your life, be it good or be it bad. It's not your spouse, Darren, who's controlling your life. It's not the economy who is making your life miserable. It's not the paycheck you get from your job that isn't enough. It's not the money or the lack of it that is controlling you. It's not the genetics. You can't blame it on your parents. Well, you know, this is just the way I am because my parents were like this. And we tend to use these excuses. You know, my life is controlled by, you know, the things that I was raised up and trained up to believe, you know, so I guess it's just genetics, it's just in me, you know, my papa had a temper, so I guess it's genetically I have a temper, and the temper is controlling your life, and so we like to blame or say that our lives are controlled by some outside force. But that's not true. Your mind controls your life. Amen? And so if you don't like your life, you look around, you need to change your mind. You can't change the forces around you, but you can control your own mind. You can change your mind. And that's exciting. So if we want change in our lives, we must change our minds. So how do we change our minds? The Bible says by the renewing of our minds, we are transformed. We are changed from one degree of glory to another. Now, this morning, I'm going to address this briefly for those maybe that are listening that need to understand this. Renewing of your mind is not positive thinking. Positive thinking has its place, and it's good. It's probably better to think positive than it is to think negative. But that is not what I'm talking about. Just positive thinking alone does not have the power to change you on the inside. It doesn't have the power. Jesus said, the words I speak are what? Are spirit, and they are life. Ephesians 4:21 says, if it be so that you have heard him, who's him? Jesus, and been taught by him as the truth, all truth is in Jesus. John 8:32 said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So take those scriptures and let's put them together. And I'm going to say, you must renew your minds with the truth, with God's word. Why is God's word so powerful? Because it is spirit and it is life. Whereas positive thinking can only take you so far because it doesn't have anything to do with God. It's just controlled thoughts, thinking positive. It has no life. Your thoughts have no life. But the thoughts of God, they are higher than your thoughts. And they are spirit and they are life. So we must renew our minds with the truth, with God's word. Because God's word is spirit and the spirit is life. In other words, in fact, I'm going to share this with you this morning. The word of God is the only thing that has the power to transform us from the inside out. You know, we hear, we see shows, we ponder things like, you know, bad people who go to jail for doing bad things, and then they're rehabilitated after so many years, supposedly, and they come up for, and they're let out for a short while. But we question, how can they be rehabilitated? How can, because it's in the mind, you know, without the word of God. I don't believe you can rehabilitate or change anyone, really change someone. They may learn to discipline themselves, to keep themselves from maybe committing terrible things, but real change, where you are not the same person, can only happen through the word of God, because his word is spirit and it brings life. And it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So it has the power to transform not only your minds, but in transforming your minds, it will transform your whole life. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 15, 16, 17, and 18, let's go there this morning. We are transformed by the word, by the Spirit, because the word is the Spirit of life. Verse 15 in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. When Moses is read, what is that? The reading of the law, of the Old Testament law. So what does this have to do with our minds and renewing our minds? Well, when the law is read, it says a veil comes over our minds. Darkness blinds us. So when the law is read, our ears hear it. Okay, you first of all got to hear it with your ears. That's why Jesus said, be careful how you hear or what you hear. It goes, the words go into our mind. And in our mind, it's like they go through a process where the words are pondered. And this is how everything we hear works. We take it into our ears, we think on it, right? We ponder it. Then we receive it as truth. Once we've pondered it, we'll either throw it away or we'll receive it as truth. And the law, if we ponder the law, what does it bring? Bondage. Bondage to what? To death. The law brings bondage to death. Nevertheless, verse 16, when it shall turn to the Lord, when what shall turn to the Lord? The mind. They're speaking of you here. When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Who is the Lord? How is the veil taken away? The Lord, now the Lord is the Spirit. Okay, so let's just put this all in perspective. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where that Spirit is, there is not bondage anymore, but liberty or freedom. So when it turns to the Lord, and the Lord is that Spirit, so who is the Spirit? My word is spirit and life. So when you turn to the word of life, the veil is taken away. What is the word of life? The word concerning Christ. Remember the Father, when Jesus was transfigured on the mount, and there was three, there was Abraham, then there was Jesus, and there was Elijah. And God, they were going to build a booth to each one, and God said, no, no, no. Hear ye my son. It's my son, the word of Christ, that is the truth. It is the life. And so it says, so if you turn to the Lord, if you turn to the word of truth, because the Lord is the Spirit, and the Spirit is the word of life, then that veil or the bondage, the death is taken away. And where the Spirit is, there is liberty. So it's safe to translate that the word Spirit used in the Bible, if you want to interpret it as meaning the word of life, the word concerning Jesus, it helps us to understand the scriptures a little bit more. It helps us to break it down and get a much better understanding. So when the Bible refers to the Spirit and the Spirit that's in you and the Spirit of life, it's referring to the word of God. The Spirit or the word concerning Christ is life. And where that word of Christ is, there is freedom. Now, if there's no freedom, then you know you haven't got the word of Christ, which is the truth, Ephesians 4:21. Freedom from what? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the word of Christ is, there's freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the law. Freedom from the law of condemnation, sin, and death. We're free from the curse of the law, and we're free from death. Verse 18, but we all with open face. In other words, we don't have the veil on our face anymore. We're not listening to Moses or the law. But we with open face, there is no more law, no more veil over our face as long as we are looking at Jesus, as long as we are looking at the word concerning Jesus. Because the law is what blinds us from seeing Jesus. So there's no more veil over our face, no more law. As long as you and I continue to look at the law, the veil blinds us from seeing our freedom from the curse and our freedom from death. Now, when I say looking at the law, I'm not talking about necessarily the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do this. How many of us even know the Ten Commandments to be able to ponder them? None of us really. I don't think, do you, anybody here know the Ten Commandments, can rattle them off? I think I'd get lost already in the Ten Commandments. I kind of know which one is which, but I'd have to sit down and really think about it. But what does it mean if we look at the law? That means if we're always measuring things in our lives by what is right and what is wrong and trying to do right all the time. Now you're looking at the law. You've got yourself under the law. But it says if you look away and you look to Jesus, who is life. You know, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. It's not about what's right and wrong. It's about life and death. God is looking at life and death. We need to see it as choosing life as well. But we, with open face, as beholding in a glass the glory or the goodness of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the what? The Spirit. We are transformed. What is the Spirit? The word of life, the word concerning Christ. We are transformed by the word of Christ or by the Spirit. It is the word of God concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, that is going to transform your mind, that is going to change your life. Because a transformed mind will have the fruit of a changed life. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Why? How's that possible? We have the mind of Christ because we have the Spirit of Christ. In the Bible we read last week, Romans chapter 8, it says that if any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his. Now I want to take it back into what I said last week, that in Christ we have died to the flesh and we were born of the Spirit. That is the truth. That is a central truth that I don't believe the body of Christ in general has had expounded or a revelation on. We are now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All old has passed away. Look, In other words, look at what has become new, and all the things that are new are of God. We looked at the scripture last week where Jesus said twice in John chapter 17, his high priestly prayer said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wow, what a profound statement. Jesus said it twice. Lord, or Father God, keep them. They're not of the world. Why? Because we're not born, we are now born of the Spirit. So what is the ramification of that? What is the significance of us understanding and having a revelation of the fact that we are in the world, but we're not of the world? We are born of the Spirit. You need to tell yourself every day when you get up, I am born of the Spirit. I am born of the Spirit. And the Spirit is much higher than the flesh. You are born of the Spirit. We are in the world, but we are not of the world, even as Jesus is not of this world. So we need to ask ourselves this question. How is Jesus not of this world? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, 21, 22, and 23 that Christ is far above the world. He is far above all principality, power, and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And all things have been put under his feet, and he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness that fills all and all. Jesus, the word of life, the Spirit of life, is the head of all things. Why? To the church. I said last week that Jesus already is the head. He always was. He was exalted high above all things. He always was above all things. Jesus always did have all power. He's God. All power, dominion. But why was he was raised as a new being? Why? Because now the church was in him, and the church is now raised far above, high above, in Christ, all principality, all power, all might, and all dominion. You and I have the Spirit of life in us. We are no longer of this world. When the Bible says that you have been born of the Spirit, that means you are born of the Spirit of life. You and I have been raised up together with Christ to sit together with him in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. You share the same Spirit of life as Jesus does. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. Now, the body is on the earth. Jesus' body is on the earth. His life on the earth, the Spirit of life, comes from the body. Jesus is not on the earth any longer in his body. Jesus is resting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is not on the earth, but we are. And what we need to understand is that all of this power, all of this authority over all principality and power and every name that can be named is now in the body. It's in you and it's in me. Jesus has a glorified body. He does not have the legal right any longer to exercise power and authority in the flesh. You and I do. And you know, the whole reason I'm going through this is to make us see this truth. Because most Christians in the world today are waiting for God to move in their behalf. Honestly, we are. We're waiting for God to move. And we need to understand who we are, why we were born of the Spirit, what purpose God has for us here on the earth. We are waiting for God to send the power down and deliver us. Whatever the situation is, whether it's sickness, disease, whether it's financial problems, whatever the problem is, we are waiting for God to deliver us. And it's sad to say, but you're going to be waiting a long time, Emily. A long time, because God has placed that power and authority over all principality, power, and might in the body. It's in you and it's in me. It's at our disposal. God is not going to speak to your mountain, Emily. It's for you to speak to your mountain. You must release the words of the Spirit of life. You know, you can believe God's word all you want, but until you speak it, till you speak what you believe, there will be no change. We do not have in this life what we believe. We have what we say we believe. We have what we say. And when Jesus was on the earth, because Jesus said so many times, just like I am, so are you. When think about this. When Jesus was on the earth, did he just sit around and wait for his Father to do something? To move him? Or wait around for his Heavenly Father to send the power? No. Jesus knew that his Father had entrusted him with the power of the Spirit to go about doing good. He didn't wake up in the morning and wondering. You see, when you understand that you're born in the Spirit, there's no more wondering. You know exactly what you're going to receive. He didn't wake up in the morning and say, I wonder what God's going to do today. You know what? God is going to do today what you do today. He's given you the authority to speak to that lifeless situation. He is not going to come in without you. You are the one that decides how much life you are going to use today in your life. How much of his word of life you're going to speak. God's not in control. He's not going to control your tongue. He can't speak for you. You must speak. Do you understand that? In the morning, when you wake up in the morning, don't think, oh, Lord, what are you going to do today? No, it's like, what am I going to do today? I know God's going to work through me, but where are the opportunities? I thank you, Lord, that I accept the challenge to speak life all day long. Don't wait to see God move before you think he's moving or he's working. You give God a vessel to work through. You are the one that must walk. You are not of the world. You have the power of life on the inside of you. You can speak life just like Jesus did when he walked the face of the earth. No matter where he went, he brought life. Dead people didn't stay dead. Sick people didn't stay sick. Why? Because he spoke. He took what God had given him and he used it towards doing good and bringing life to those around him. It's an amazing revelation when you understand that you are born of that same Spirit. You have that same power to speak life. If there's something you want changed, speak to it. Speak to it in the name of Jesus. And it has to change. So Jesus is no longer on the earth. God has entrusted to us this power, just like he had entrusted it to Jesus. Remember last week we read from John chapter 17 where Jesus says, after he says, you are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He said, and as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Do you think Jesus is going to send us out without the same power to bring good, without the Spirit of life on the inside of us? So we are the determining factor of what our Father is able to do on the earth, you and I. And that's a pretty sobering thought. We are the determining factor. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. And I want to share a revelation, and this is how the Lord showed me this whole message. I spoke something. I was actually praying about something. And I was wondering whether this had happened or whether that was. And the Lord said to me, you can speak. And you need to know that the words that you speak, you can now confidently say, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. You must see yourself. When you speak to your mountain or your circumstance in the name of Jesus, you can confidently say that now my words that I speak are spirit and life. You know why? Because the Spirit of life is in us. We are born of the Spirit. And just as Jesus said that statement, the words I speak, what Jesus said brought life. What you say out of your mouth, you must see that life coming because of the Spirit of life that's in you. It is the Spirit of Jesus. You are one Spirit in him. Dare to believe that your words now are spirit and life. We always refer to Jesus' words, but you are as he is. So and you need to see that, and that is a revelation. It's like, wow, I have the Spirit of life in me. And even as Jesus spoke and said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. So you too speak forth spirit and life into your life, into every situation. God has given all of us in this room the same measure of the Spirit of life. And the same power, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead is at your disposal. This power is placed in you when you become born of the Spirit. And whether you believe that you have this power or not, whether you use this power that's on the inside of you or not, does not change that truth. It is in you. If you are in Christ, then the same power, the Bible tells us, that raised Jesus from the dead is now in you. It dwells there. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of life. But what I want to tell us this morning is this. You know, as the Lord opened up my eyes to see some of these, really see these truths, I was like, oh Lord, don't let this power in me be in vain. What does it mean to be in vain? To be of no effect. You've been entrusted with the ability to speak and with the power of life. Is it going to be in vain in your life? But by the continually renewing of our minds, we're going back to our minds again, as we continue to look into all that Jesus has done for us and in us through the cross and given freely to us, that is where we begin to have the confidence, because we begin to see what he has done, and we are continually transformed into his image, into his likeness, by looking at him and what he has made us to be. And we need to continually speak with confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Spirit of life. You know, when you speak, you know, it's been over the years we've had a struggle with, you know, the Bible says in Mark 11:23, it's our famous passage of scripture concerning faith, that, you know, whosoever shall speak unto this mountain and not doubt in his heart, but will believe what he says will come to pass. He will have what he says. And you know, we've taught on this, and I've even said to the Lord, Lord, it's easy to believe your word, but how can I believe my word? It was always like, can I trust me? Can I believe my word? I was getting kind of off, not understanding that because of the Spirit of life, I can have confidence in the word that I speak in the name of Jesus. Because whatever I ask in that name, the Father has already given it to me. Do you understand? So when you speak, see it as speaking, see as Spirit and life, not because of you, but because of righteousness that's been placed in you, because of the Spirit of life that God has given you. And it is your responsibility to release it. So trust those words in Jesus' name. It matters not how you feel or what it looks like in the natural. Speak the words and have confidence that your words will come to pass, because they actually aren't even your words. They're the Spirit of life in you speaking. Amen? And that's where our faith is. So we need to continually be speaking with confidence in the Spirit of life that is in us. Speak with confidence in the name of Jesus. Do not doubt in your heart. Believe your words are spirit and they are life. Why? Because you are now born of the Spirit. And out of the abundance of the Spirit, your mouth will speak. You are born of the Spirit. You need to get an understanding and a revelation of how great of what that means to you and me in this world. We're in the world. We're not subject to the world. We've been taken out of the world. We're not subject to the curse of the world. In Christ, we died. We're dead to the world, the Bible says. We're dead to the flesh. In other words, anything that's going on, you don't have to worry about, because the Spirit of life on the inside of you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have the power, the authority, and the ability. No wonder Jesus said, you know what? You're going to have challenges when you're in this world. You're going to have troubles. But cheer up. I've conquered the world for you. I've deprived it of all power to harm you. It has no power over you. You are not in this world anymore. You are of the heavenly world. You are of the Spirit of life. So death has absolutely no control over you any longer. But you are the defining factor as to how much of this life you are going to enjoy. It's if you want to speak life into your body, your body is subject to you. Your flesh is dead. Remember, anything that's dead, you can release life into it. You can speak life into your finances. You can speak life into your marriage. Make that statement. In the name of Jesus, I have a marriage that was made in heaven. I have, you know, speak life into every area. Speak life over your children. Proclaim what it is you want to see. Speak those words of life and watch it come to pass. Trust your words. Don't doubt in your heart. You've already got what your words are going to say. Don't wait to see a change before you speak life. Speak life and then you'll see a change. It's for every area of our lives. How much life do you want? How much life do you want, Emily? Speak to your mind. Speak to every part of your being and speak to things around you. And you will just be amazed at how it'll begin to change. You'll begin to expect things, you know, things that happen, things that come to pass in our lives that we call miracles are not, they're not going to surprise us. Why? Because you've been speaking this thing. You're waiting for it. You know, God doesn't just throw something on you. No, the Bible says that God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he's going to reap. In other words, you're going to know what your harvest is. By your words. If you have never spoken life over your body or life or whatever, you know what? You're not going to receive $1 million tomorrow or whatever, you know? God doesn't just move. God has given you the authority and the power to speak life. You determine how much life you're going to enjoy in this life. You've got the power. You've got the power to have the life that Jesus has. So you need to believe your words are spirit and life because of the spirit that's in you, because you are now born of that spirit. You have been made righteous. You have the right to release the life through your mouth into your situation. In fact, God wants you to do that. That pleases God. The Bible says that we are to have the God kind of faith. Speak those things that be not as though they are, and you will have what you speak. God cannot speak for you, Emily. He cannot. You have to speak. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "Now unto him," who is him? God. "Now unto our Father, who is able to," I love this scripture, you should meditate on this, "Now unto our God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above or beyond all that we ask or even think." Did you know what this is? Do you know what this is telling us? God is able to go above and beyond anything you could even imagine. So what that tells me is we are speaking way too little. We are not calling life in the way God wants us to. Because he can still go, it doesn't matter what you think the need is, that this is way too big for God. No, God is saying right here, speak big. Because I am able to do. I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But God is tied to do only what we speak, only to what we ask. But we need to know God is bigger than what we're asking, than what we're speaking. And this tells me that we're asking and speaking way too little. God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we are asking or even imagining. God wants us to speak and release his power for big and for great and for totally impossible things. He can handle it. He's able. Beyond your wildest dreams. Beyond your wildest dreams. Have you ever pondered a truth or you know, had a sense on the inside of you during your time with the Lord, during prayer, maybe during a service where the word is coming to life? Have you ever had that on the inside where it's like, oh man, that is so amazing. That's just too good to be true. You know, that's God's voice. That's how he speaks to you. And when he shows you deep in your heart the life that he has for you, the amount of life that's available to you, you're overwhelmed. It's like, oh no, I just can't even, he can't even go there. It's like, wow, that's overwhelming. Can I really believe that? But that's the voice of God. that's his gentle, kind, wonderful, warm voice on the inside pushing you, causing you to speak more, to release more of your faith through your mouth. So God can do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond and above even what you can imagine, Emily. How? Because of the power that works in us mightily. And it is able to bring abundant life to any situation or any circumstance. The power that works in us. What is the power that works in us? Spirit of life. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to close with this, verses 6, 7, and 10. Says this, God has raised us up together with Christ. He has made you and me to sit down together in heavenly places in Christ. Why did he do this? Verse 7, so that in the ages to come, he might show forth the riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ. Verse 10, for you and I, we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto what? Good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. We are created in Christ. We are God's workmanship unto good works. That's God's purpose for your life. That's why you're here. If God didn't have a purpose for the power that he's placed in you, then why would he have left us on the earth when we got saved? He would have just taken us home to heaven. But you have a purpose. You have been empowered with the Spirit of life. For what reason? To bring life. Jesus was sent from God. He was empowered with the Spirit of life. Why? To bring life. Jesus now has made it possible for that same Spirit to be in you and I, and he's sending us forth as the body and say, go and bring forth life. We are created in Christ unto good works. What does that mean? What is this good works? Remember Jesus said in the Gospels, greater works shall you do because I'm going to my Father. And then in another place, he commented to the Pharisees, for what good work do you stone me? And they said, no, not for your good works, but that you have made yourself to be equal with God. For that reason, we are stoning you. But you understand, when God talks about good works, he's talking about bringing life. What were the good works that Jesus did? He raised the dead, healed the sick. He fed 5,000 people with a small lad's lunch. He brought life wherever he went. That is the work that God has called you and I to do as the body. Bring life. Jesus came, he was the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the life of the world. Know that about yourself. Why? Because you're not of this world. You are born of the Spirit. And if we could only see into the spiritual realm, you would see yourself glowing like a light bulb wherever you went in the darkness. Allow that light to just spill out of you. Speak. Don't ever stop speaking life. No matter where you are, no matter what the situation is, speak it, proclaim it, take it as your own. You know, that's what faith is. Faith is not, oh God, you know, do this or do that for me. No, faith is, I have it in the name of Jesus. I speak life into that situation. And I thank you, Father, that my children are well taught of the Lord. My children, great is the peace of and the undisturbed composure of my children, and they are well taught of the Lord himself. And I just give you all praise, Lord God, that wherever they go, they are blessed. They are prosperous. And most importantly, they are your sheep. They hear your voice. They know you. Speak those things over your children's lives and believe they are the truth. Believe your words. And give God an opportunity to work and bring life into things in your lives, whether it's your children, your marriage, your finances. Speak to it. Release the Spirit of life that's on the inside of you. Release it into your body. If there's something about your body you don't like, speak to it. And just continually speak to it. Don't give up. Stand once you've made a confession. The Bible says in the book of James, if any man ask, meaning, and if any man speak, let him speak in faith, nothing wavering. For let not that man think he will receive anything of the Lord. You need to speak and continue on and stand in your confession, knowing that whatever it is you've spoken, you are releasing life into it. And it may not look like there's life right now, but you keep speaking and you will see life begin to happen in that situation. So Jesus went about doing good works, healing and delivering all who were oppressed of the devil. You and I, God has said, we just read, we are created in Christ. We are God's workmanship. We have been created for good works. Those are good works. Life is good works. Death is not. So what are these good works God has ordained us to live in? To bring life. How do you bring life? To release it through the Spirit of life that's in you. You have been ordained and called in Christ even before the foundation of the world began. You are the body of Christ, and you have the same purpose on this earth as Jesus did, to bring life, to expel darkness, to bring light. And we need the boldness to believe our own words, and that only comes from continually renewing our minds. Because what we believe in our minds changes our life. It is our mind that controls us. When your mind believes you are born of the Spirit and you are not of this world anymore, when you honestly see and believe that and you begin to speak and believe your words, you will change your life, and not only your own life, but you will change your life, you will change the lives of the people around you. Praise God. What a gift he's given us. Let it not be in vain. You are born of the Spirit. You are no longer in the flesh. You are not a helpless being. You have the answer to every situation. Speak to the situation, no matter how ridiculous it is. Some people think, oh, that's ridiculous. Why would I bother speaking to that? No, it's not. Nothing is ridiculous. Speak life into every situation. God has called us to release the Spirit of life on the inside of us into a world, as we know, filled with death. Look around, we see it everywhere. And for this purpose, God has ordained the church on the earth. That is the purpose of the church, to bring forth the life of Jesus. Jesus is no longer here. He's the head, but we're the body, and he flows through the body. The power and dominion that he was exalted to, and the Bible says, because he stooped so low and he humbled himself, he is now raised up. That raising was done for our sake, not his. He already was raised up. But he came down and he became like us so that we could be raised in him to be like him. So, yes, Jesus has all power and all authority, but he can't use it from where he is. It is in the body. And even though Jesus wants life, he needs you, and he really does need me to speak. To speak by the Spirit words of life, to bring his life into the world. Amen. Receive something this morning, Em? Amen. We're going to